In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
With majestic simplicity, St. John reveals who lies in that manger. It is the Word of God. The Word of God is far more than a book, or a bare means of communication, or a simple bare word, but the Word of God is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. The Word was not the first creature or creation of God, but the Word always was. Before light, there was the Word. Before time, there was the Word. He is eternal from everlasting to everlasting. He does not grow or increase or change in any way. No one comes before him. For in the beginning, there was the Word. And the Word was with God. So the Father is not the Word, for you cannot be with yourself. That's not how we speak. You're always with someone else. So the Father is not the Word, and the Word is not the Father, yet both are God. In a strange mystery, the Father is God and the Word is God, yet they are separate, distinct persons of the Trinity. The Word is not a lesser God or a second-class deity, but the Word is fully God, with all the power, glory, might, wisdom, knowledge, and strength. He doesn't share it with the Father and the Spirit, but he possesses it fully, even as the Father and the Spirit possess it fully. He lacks nothing, for he is the Word of God. He is eternal. He is present everywhere. He knows all things, and he receives all worship and praise. So with majestic simplicity, St. John discusses the mystery of the Trinity. The Word was with God, three persons of God, and yet the Word was God, one divine essence and being. Through this Word, all things were made. He is not the Father creator, but he is the Word. The Father does all things through his Son. So the Father created through his Word. The Word of God is power because that Word is the Son of God. He generated light. He hung the sky and placed the stars. He planted each flower and sprung up each tree. He separated the waters from the land and set limits that they cannot exceed. He gave life to animals, fish, and birds. He created the heavens and the earth, and yes, even hell itself. He created the angels in their various ranks and orders, for through him all things were made, nothing was made apart from him. Take away the Word and the world falls apart, for all things hold together in him. Limit the Word, hinder his presence or power, and creation ceases to exist, for all things are created by him and through him and for him. The chief of which is mankind. And today that Word becomes flesh. The Father is not man, the Spirit is not man, but the Word is man. He is made like you in every way. All that you are, he also is. So he has a body. He has muscles and organs and bones, all of which function the same as yours do. He has a human soul and a human will, for how can he be true man if he does not have a human soul and will? He has human physical bodily needs. He needed to eat to stay alive. He needed to sleep to rejuvenate and to rest and restore his strength. He has human emotions, even as we do. So he wept at the grave of Lazarus because he was sad at the passing of his dear friend. In the temple, he drove out the money changers in anger. He grew in size and strength, in stature and in wisdom. He changed. He did not know everything, but he learned and grew in knowledge. And yet we do not have two Christs, two Jesuses, but we have one Jesus, one person with two distinct natures, God and man. And everything this Jesus does, everything he does for your salvation as God and man. So as he lived on this earth, it's easy to see his human nature, for he is made like us. He comes in humility, which means that he tucks his divine nature so deep down inside that it's barely visible, if at all. And yet he still is fully God. He still possesses his divine nature. For if he does not, then he ceases to be God. But he hides it so that he can be arrested and led astray. For if he had shone with the full brightness of his Godhead, then no one could overcome him, arrest him, or kill him, and we would not be saved. But he came in humility to save us. So he hides that divine nature deep down within. Now he can suffer. Now God can die. Now nails and spear can pierce him through. Now the sins of the world can rest on his shoulders. Now he can die in your place and be laid in your grave. And yet, even in that grave, he remains the eternal Word of God with all of his power, might, majesty, and glory. For Jesus is always God and man. And everything that he does as God and man, so that you might be saved. For if the Word of God dies in your place, if the Word of God rests in your grave, then death must lead to life, and the grave must simply be a place of rest. Then he rose on the third day as God and man. Now he begins to show and make full use of his divine power and glory. Yet he has not set aside his human nature. He has not taken on something else. He doesn't operate apart from that human nature, but always through it. So his flesh walks through those locked doors in the upper room. His human nature ascended into heaven. His human nature now sits at the right hand of God. His human nature now has all power and glory and majesty in heaven and on earth. For as God, he always possessed it. But now, because of this personal union, the human nature receives it as a gift. So as man, he knows all things. According to his human nature, he is present everywhere. According to that same human nature, he has all power and authority. For everything Jesus does, he does as God and man. We cannot divide Jesus into two persons, one stuck up in heaven and one down here with us. For wherever we find the divine nature of Christ, there we will find his humanity. And wherever his humanity is, there is his divine nature. And he has told you exactly where he is to be, in bread and wine. There is his human nature, and so there is the eternal Word who is one with the Father and through whom all things were made. There is all his power, wisdom, majesty, glory, honor, and strength wrapped up in bread and wine. So as you take and eat the bread and wine, as you take and eat the very body and blood of this eternal Word, that eternal Word, one with the Father, dwells in you. You receive him into your mouth. He is made one with you and you one with him. All that he is, you now are. For everything that Jesus does and continues to do, he does as God and man, so that you might be saved. So who can keep you out of heaven? Who can rob you of the salvation that Christ won? What devil, what pain, what disease can have you forever? Not even the grave. For the eternal Word comes to you yet again to unite himself to you, so that you may live where he now is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.